No, I am. Especially in Cape Verde, where it's like Punta Pereta and it's like straight rocks if you fall. I've broken some wings, I've broken a board, I think, and foils also.
Who is considered an older guy?
I would say like from 20 up.
This episode is sponsored by Foil Sessions, the app that lets you track all your foiling sports. Now also on the iPad. This is a Fun Foil, the podcast for everyone flying
just above the surface. Pump, carb, soar, let's foil! Welcome to episode number 64 of Up on Foil, the podcast where we talk all about foiling. Me, I'm an average foiler, but today we have a world champion with us. And not just once, but 8 times world champion, Nia Suardias. Very young still. Thank you very much, Nia, for coming on the show. Is there anything that you want to add right away at the beginning?
I'm from Tarifa. I'm from Spain and super happy to start this podcast. And yeah, ask me all you want.
All right, super cool. Have you been on the water today?
No, actually, no. There's not much wind right now in Tarifa, but I was training just before.
So if you train, and we can just go into your training. That's something I'm very interested in. When you do training, it's not just training on the water. What other training do you do?
I'm training now like 3 times a week with a personal trainer. So we do all kinds of training, strength training, mobility, stretching, all those kinds. And normally if I don't have training with my trainer, I usually go to the swimming pool to swim or go to Pilates or try to move my body somehow. That's not only in the water.
Very nice. I said at the beginning that you're 8 times world champion. You're 18 years old, which is super young, but also already so much accomplishments. Can you maybe for our listeners tell us where you won those world champion titles? There were some wave, freestyle, slalom.
Well, yeah, the special thing I feel like about all my world titles is that I've won every single discipline that there is in wing foiling. I've won the freestyle, wave, slalom, the racing, the big air. So yeah, it has been some really busy years and trying to win as much as possible, but it has been amazing.
Very nice. When we look back, your last one, that was free fly slalom. Is that correct?
Yes.
When was that? Can you tell us about it?
Well, just a few weeks ago, I was in Abu Dhabi and there I won the two events prior to that. So it was pretty easy for me to win the world title. I just had to be in between the first 3 positions. I still won the competition. That was super cool. Also, we had super light wind in Abu Dhabi, but it was amazing. And yeah, winning the 8th world title is just incredible.
Did you get like bored or used to it? It's like logical that you kind of have to win, isn't it?
I mean, for me, obviously, people get more used to it for me winning, but still for me, it's a big accomplishment. Each year, it gets harder and harder to win. Each year, more and more girls join the World Tour. And yeah, just winning another one is just incredible. Obviously, for a lot of people watching, they probably think, she's already won so much. But still, for me, it's a huge accomplishment.
And you're still hungry, obviously, for more. If you say it's getting harder, is it just the amount of people joining or is it just they're getting better and you have to defend a little more during the races?
Well, both. There's a lot more girls joining, a lot more younger girls. And also as well, in Tarifa, there's so many girls starting to wing. And that is super nice and incredible to see. But obviously, for me, there's more competence. And also the level of the girls is getting way higher, as we all could see in the competitions. So obviously for me to win in all discipline gets harder and harder, as some girls just train one or the other. For me, I have like a lot of variety, but I'm still super confident, so I don't really like to lose, so I try my best to win.
That's super cool. They're probably looking up to you as well. Do you give them tips, or are you like, no, you're against me, so I'm keeping my secrets to myself?
No, if somebody will ask me, I'll for sure give them my tips. I have no problem with sharing them. And also, like, here, all the younger girls, when we go to competitions or something, and they're with me, we're all in the same competition, I try to help them if I can, or, like, motivate them, because I know how it was for me at the beginning, so I love giving them a hand or something.
That is very nice. We're going to talk about like how you got into water sports and winging. I just want to like stay on these topics of that competition. And you said that you're doing everything. You're good at everything as well. Do you have like a favorite discipline, or is it the mix that makes it interesting?
I think right now for me, my favorite discipline is like wave riding. It's the one that I get to do the least, because we don't really get to have so many waves here in Tarifa, and also the wave events are a bit reduced, so when I get
there was one right this year.
Yeah, this year it was only one, so I really hope there's more next year, because the year before we had like Brazil and Morocco and was amazing. But yeah, this year was only one in Cape Verde. It's my favorite competitions of all. So that was also like amazing, amazing to win there. But yeah, I think right now that's my favorite discipline.
If you just have one competition like that, and you said you don't have a lot of waves at your home spot, how do you train for these?
Well, for that competition, I went like 1 month before, or like 3 weeks. And I was training every single day in the waves, so that helped me a lot. And I'll for sure do it next year again. I like love it, and also just like being there and how much you progress in a few days just being out on the waves is incredible.
When you go out there, are you usually by yourself? Do you have a coach with you, or just some competitors?
Normally, if I travel or whatever, I go with other competitors. Or with friends, like all of the competitors were actually like pretty close. So it's super nice. Also with my teammates, Duotone teammates, like Wesley lives in Cape Verde, so it's super nice to be there. He pushes me a lot, so that's also really helpful. And yeah, I just normally go out with people that are better than me, or yeah, normally all the guys. So it's really nice, and you improve way more.
Very nice. Nia, just a heads up, if you see me wobbling around, I'm staying on a balance board right now. That's like the only training I can do at the moment. So it's just that if you're out there in these waves, Nia, honestly, are you never scared?
No, I am. And especially in Cape Verde, where it's like Punta Pereta and it's like straight rocks if you fall. I'm pretty scared. Also, like years before, we've had some pretty big conditions there. And I was also like smaller and haven't had that much training in waves. It was a bit scary for me. Also, like, I think the first year in Cape Verde, my dad was full like in his wetsuit and everything, just in case I fell, like to go rescue me. But yeah, it gets scary. I'm also like a person that I'm like, if I'm not 100% sure I can do it, I won't. So yeah.
Right. It makes a lot of sense. Has anything ever happened to you?
No, never. But I'm just, I think like a scary person. Like for me to like just do a new trick, that's like maybe, I don't know, a bit more head wise. I like struggle a little bit. I like take it more easy and go step by step.
All right. But there must certainly have been some gear breaking or something. I mean, these waves are incredible. If you fall, like these foils or daggers, did anything ever happen to the gear?
To my gear, if there's rocks, yes. In Punta Preta, I've broken some wings. I've broken a board, I think. And foils also get scratched pretty bad if there's like a lot of rocks.
Do you fix them yourself, or do you just give them back and they hand you new gear? How does that work?
No, normally if it's like repairable, I'll bring it back home here, and I'll go to my like local shaper. That's called Danny Vallejo, and I'll just bring to him all the gear, like boards and foils, and he'll repair it for me. And then if I have any broken wings that are like repairable as well, I just bring them to Wet, and they'll fix them for me.
All right,
so that's really nice.
Very nice. So that's the wave competitions. What if we talk about like scary stuff? What is more dangerous, like you in a wave, or if you have a race like a slalom or something? You get pretty close to each other, and they again like are super fast, and you're not 100% sure if they actually manage or if they fall. What is worse for you, or what's better?
I mean, I think a bad wipeout in waves is worse.
Okay.
But I haven't had any like bad, like, I mean, if you go really fast and you maybe like crash, it'll hurt a little bit, but like wave, I think would be worse. I've seen some pretty bad crashes in racing of like the guys, but really in the girls, I haven't seen anything too bad.
All right. Good, good, good. Because I remember, I think it was Tom who said that they're going to change something in the wave, how they give you points. Is there anything planned differently for next year? Because as far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that you're not allowed to use the wing to get you higher up. Is there some change coming, or how does that work?
Yeah, so for right now, I think, I'm not sure as well, like 100% here, but you're not supposed to use the power of the wing. So you cannot use like the power handles. You can use the railing edge handle. That's just to hold the wing. But yeah, it gives like a lot of advantage to the people that are riding frontside the wave. People that are riding backside don't even like have the option to like use the wing power, because it won't help you for much. But yeah, for I think right now you can, maybe for next year you will, because it looks really impressive, like seeing Cash and all the frontside riders like in Sal in Punta Preta reusing the wing. Looks really nice, but obviously like I'm backside rider there, it's like almost impossible to use the wing.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Let's talk big air and freestyle, because there you're going to get high up. What's your favorite trick so far, or what are you working on? Are you allowed to tell even, or is that like a secret?
No, I mean, to be fair, I haven't been out freestyle that much. I had some racing. We were at a Red Bull camp in Italy, so we did a lot of racing. Then I was in Abu Dhabi, so I did a lot of racing. And for right now, we didn't have so much wind, so I haven't been out on the water too much. But yeah, I think for right now, my favorite trick is like the front flip. Feels super nice. And for new tricks I want to learn, you got me a little bit there. Probably like double Palau, or like Palau to Palau, front flip 3. I don't know. I would really want to learn how to do these tricks.
Because if you say that people are like catching up to you a little bit, then you probably have to like continue to evolve to like keep it at their place.
Yes.
How do you go, like, if you start a new trick, how do you do that? Because I talked to Baltz, Raticulo, and he said, yeah, he's just, like, in his mind, he has to dream it. And once he can dream it, he can actually do it. How do you do that?
For me, I, like, analyze the trick before even trying it. Because as I said, I'm, like, a pretty scared person. So if I don't have, like, my mindset right, I won't try it. And then, yeah, for me, it's just try after try after try after crash after crash after crash. And then once you get it once, you'll probably, like, get the hang of it, and then it'll be way easier. And then, yeah, just keep crashing until you have it unlocked.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of work. Do you, yeah. like, do that on the trampoline as well, or like maybe in the gym somehow that you train that, or you do that on the water all the time?
I mean, I've seen people trying on the trampoline some tricks. Probably it helps, but I just try it out on the water.
Very nice. So you fall a little softer, probably. Is there any other discipline that you think like that would be something super cool? We could do that with a wing as well. Or is it just like, no, there's everything is already set and we don't need to change anything?
I think, to be fair, everything's set. We have slalom, race, freestyle, wave, bigger. I don't think there's many more options.
Because what I really, for me as a spectator, I love these slalom free flies where you kind of have to take that wing at the off handle. How is that for you? Do you like that or not that much?
There's such a debate on that because there's people that like it. There's people that hate it. There's people that don't mind it. I don't know. For me, it's a little bit, don't really care about it. It doesn't really matter that much in the race either. Like, there's not many people overtaking unless you, like, fall down. But there's people that say it looks really stupid. I don't know from my point of view. But I actually like it. When it's windy, I like it. When it's, like, in Abu Dhabi, you had almost no wind. I thought it was a bit stupid where, like, they're pumping. There's absolutely no wind. But yeah, it's something nice. I think it's also different. And I don't know what the spectators think about it.
For me, honestly, I love it. And I think it's super cool because if someone does or makes a mistake, then yeah, it's like, all right, you just need to be 100% focused and have to be able to pump. Yeah. Well, I think it's super cool. Also, when I look at the windsurfers, they have this sausage like in the first leg. Would that be something that you would appreciate or say like, no, we're too fast already. It's dangerous as it is. What do you think about that?
A lot of people say it would be really dangerous. I don't think so. I don't really like that much the idea, but probably would be fun for like a fun race or something. I don't think it would be as like a full competition. I don't know, but as like a fun race, I think would be nice.
If we look at all that you've done and maybe look a little bit into the future as well. There are some people saying, yeah, wing foiling, obviously that's going to be at the Olympics as well. Is that something that goes through your head and how is that going at the moment? Do you have any news maybe you can share?
I mean, I have no news about the Olympics. I know they're like considering it, but I don't know if they're going to do it. If they will, it's gonna be probably in 2032, I think. Yeah, like, it's in my mind, obviously. But it's still a long way till there. And yeah, I don't know. If it happens, I would for sure love to participate.
Very nice. Maybe we can, like, take a step back and start at the beginning. Like you said, you are from Tarifa. Were you born there? Have you been on the water ever since you were little?
Yeah, I was born here and my parents, actually my mom's from Germany and she moved here for windsurfing. So that's really nice. And my dad also has a big passion for windsurfing. So as little as I was, I think I was 5 or 3. And they would already put me on a windsurfing board and take me out. I didn't really like it that much. But yeah, once I got a bit older, I started liking it more and enjoying it. So I started going out on the water way more. Then some friends started doing as well. So it was super fun. We would all go out every single day. But yeah, once I tried wing foiling, I never went back to windsurfing.
Yeah. Really? Never?
Never. I mean, I've done it like a few times and the days that I do is super nice, but it's like, it was super nice for 1 hour, but that's it.
When I look back, when I first started wing foiling, or before I started wing foiling, I used to be a windsurfer as well. Probably not as good as you, obviously, but then I kited a little bit and I looked at these wing foils. I'm like, that looks stupid. I don't want to do that. Did that cross your mind? Or is it like, all right, it's something new, exciting, I'm going to do it anyway?
I don't know. For me, it's like, as you say, a lot of people were saying, I look stupid, na na na. I really didn't think much of it. I was there just on the beach and it was not much wind to windsurf. And as you know, in Tarifa, it's super gusty. So if it's flat, gusty, not much wind, it's like pretty bad to windsurf. Yeah. And a friend of mine was like, yeah, I'm going to go out and do a wing foiling course. Join me. I don't want to do it alone. And I was like, okay, why not? Why not just go out and try it out? And once I tried it, I was like addicted to it. I was like, mom, take me to the beach. I really want to go wing foiling. And I went out almost every single day and it motivated me a lot. And then
When was that?
I don't know, like 4 years ago, I guess. Mm-hmm. 4 years ago. And then there was a competition, like the World Tour competition here in Tarifa in December. And I participated, but I was like, my level was still pretty bad. But it like motivated me so much to like go out into water every single day. That then when we got to the competition of the cat, that my dad drove me there. And yeah, I won the competition. It was just incredible. And since that day, I swear, I think I've done wing foiling almost every single day if there's wind.
That is so nice. So you did that competition and you knew, all right, I'm good. I'm better than others. And probably people around you noticed that as well. How did you get like your first sponsor? How did that evolve from Nia just enjoying herself to, all right, I'm going to go all in?
Well, I was here in Tarifa and I was literally one of the only girl here winging. And my, like, Jaime is the duoton Spanish, like, I don't know how you call it, like, ambassador.
Is he a representative? Or?
Yeah, representative. Okay. It has like a really big shop here in Tarifa. And he's super close friends with my parents. I've also ridden like duoton windsurfing sails forever. So we talked to him. He's like, yes, for sure. You can get some equipment. And so I got some equipment for free. And yeah, I started like winging every single day. It was amazing. And then when I got to Lucat and won my first competition, the international Duoton people like wrote me and told me they want me to join the international team. So that was also incredible, just like winning my first world title and then getting sponsors internationally. That was amazing. Also, my dad always like used to tell me, oh, when you're bigger, you have to be sponsored by Duoton and go to Hawaii and do all the photo shoots and stuff. So that was also super funny. And yeah, it was amazing. That year was incredible, yeah.
And then things like that started to happen. How did you realize it? Like, because your dad said, yeah, you have to be sponsored and, you know, photo shoots, as you just said. Now you're all in. And is that your job? Are you like still going to school? How does your life look like?
I'm finishing school still. But obviously, like right now, this is my job and this is what I like to do. And I hope to do it for way longer time. But yeah, it's incredible. I never actually thought I would get like to here, especially in windsurfing, because I liked it, but it was not my passion. But just like starting to wing foil, it just, it like changed my life. I've also like traveled to so many new places that I probably would never have been to if it wasn't for wing foiling. So I'm also super grateful.
Can you maybe share your favorite spots that you got the chance to visit?
I mean, Cape Verde, definitely one of my top spots. Brazil is amazing. And we've been to New Zealand. I mean, we've been to Denmark, Ireland, so many places. Morocco was also incredible, like Dakhla. The spot is actually so sick. The lagoon with the hotels. And yeah, there's probably so many more places. We also went to China 1 year. That was also like a whole new experience. Also, this year in Abu Dhabi was actually super sick. But yeah, like every single place has their culture, their things, and it's just amazing to see everything.
And do you get to witness that? Because when I remember, I used to sail quite a lot, and I went to a few world championships as well. But I basically just saw the harbor and the hotel, and just was there for that. How much else are you actually allowed to do, or can you do in these times?
I mean, for me, it's what you say. Like, I don't get, if I go to, like, now I went to Abu Dhabi, I didn't get to see much because we were there for the competition and came back. We saw some things and was just really cool to see. And like Cape Verde or Brazil, I mean, I've been there now like 3-4 times. And when I go, I usually stay a bit longer. Last year, I was like 2 months in Brazil. So you get to see quite a few things.
All right, very nice. How do you plan? Like your year is the year 2025 is probably over. You're just at home now. How do you plan, or when do you plan 2026, or is everything already like set in stone? How does that work?
Well, right now it's all in the air. We didn't even get the calendar yet for the competitions.
Oh, really? Oh wow.
So I'm like, I have no clue what I'm going to do next year. But yeah, whenever the like calendar comes out, and we do like a little bit like organize the year, see when the competitions are, see when I want to go, if I want to go a bit earlier to train there or not, or stay a little bit longer at home, or do any other like traveling or like visit a new place to train or whatever. So we'd normally like organize everything of that like at the beginning of the year, and then if something pops up, like a competition that wasn't planned or whatever, we just like, see how we can organize it.
Are you planning that yourself, or are your parents helping you? Do you have like a manager, or is there a sponsor involved as well?
Well, my mom's like my manager. My mom has done like all the organizing and everything till now, also because I was a lot in school. Now, like, she's pushing me a little bit to start to doing it myself. But, yeah, she's the one that organizes almost everything for me.
And then how is the sponsor involved? Obviously, you get Duotone gear, but you probably get a budget as well to travel. Or are they saying, well, we expect from you this and that, and you have to go there and there? How does that work?
I mean, it depends on your sponsor, on your deal, what you have with them. I have a budget, travel, etc. They don't tell you, oh, you have to be first place. But obviously, they have like an expectation of you. And yeah, as better as you do it, obviously, as better your deal is gonna be. And probably as much they will appreciate you and the team.
I get that. But now, as you've had these world titles or have these world titles, do you like have a mental coach? Because eventually someone's going to like take that first spot.
Yeah.
And are you like working that already, or just like, no, it's going to be fine. I'm never going to lose A or B. I don't have a problem with that.
I've had like some mental coaches, but it didn't really like fit. Everybody tells me super important. I also think it's really important, but yeah, I haven't found like somebody that I really like or want to like work with. I think it's super hard also to choose like a person that you want to like tell, yeah, everything or like your problems or et cetera. But yeah, I think it's really important, and it for sure helps a lot.
But when you like get second place once, that won't be a problem for you and just going to continue? Or are you going to say, well, my time is over, my reign is over, let's make place for a new one?
I mean, right now, I've gotten a lot of times also second or third. So it's not like I've never lost. But obviously, like, it gets me a little bit down, I'm not going to lie. Also this year, like, I got at the end third in freestyle. I'm not too happy about it, but also being like doing like wing foil freestyle for almost like 4 years now, and that's the discipline I train the most for. So it's also like maybe I have to take a little bit of a break of like just doing freestyle and focus a little bit more on other disciplines. But yeah, it's not like I get second and I get like super sad or anything. Also, it pushes me to like get better, and also this like fire inside of me of like wanting to win for the next competitions. But yeah.
I talked to Julia Castro a little earlier, and she said that I have to ask you, because as you are very young still, how you manage to stay that much, to stay focused that well? Because yes, you have school as well. You have other interests probably. How do you keep that focus?
I think it's because I like it. I think everything you like to do, you have a passion for it, and you will want to do it. Even if I'm super tired of winging every single day, at the end, if you get a good session in or you're out with your friends, you'll enjoy that much that you'll be like, well, whatever, tomorrow I want to go out again. And at the end, for me, it's I go a lot out with other people. I don't really like winging alone. So yeah. Also that like pushes me. Also, I love when like I go out, for example, with my brother, and he's trying to learn a new trick and I'm trying to learn a new trick, and then he follows me and will tell me, oh, I think you should change this and this. Then we film each other and like this, like, yeah, actually we like motivate us like together. For me to get motivated by myself is a bit harder, but yeah, when there's more people involved, this is super fun. Also,
you are like in this epicenter of these foiling sports. Where do you think that will go? Because we cannot always go higher or like triple, quadruple, whatever. Where do you think it's going?
I've no clue. I always think that. I think like, what? Well, the guys are like doing the most sick, insane tricks. Like there's no way they can do anything better, or in the next week there's a new trick, better, higher. And yeah, it just shows you that there's no limit to it. Obviously there will be one point will be like the level so high, like probably cannot progress any higher, but for right now I think there's not much limit to it.
That's crazy. You are all into winging. Have you tried other foiling sports as well?
No, I haven't done any kite foiling or wing surf foiling. I've done like surf foiling, but I count it as winging.
But, how about the parawing? Have you had a chance to try the parawing yet?
Yeah, I've tried the parawing. I like the downwind parawinging, but actually like parawinging is not my favorite.
Why?
I wouldn't do it in like flat water. I don't know. I don't really like it.
How about the paddle? Have you tried the paddle?
I've tried the paddling, downwinding, and I really like it actually. Just I don't go out, or I don't get to go out that much here. If I'm in Hood River, I really like to do like paddle downwinding and power winging downwinding. It's super fun. I really enjoy it.
All right, nice. And you probably don't need to like dock star because you have wind and waves and whatnot. Yeah. You were in at the boat in Düsseldorf last year, right?
Yeah.
But you didn't do the pump foiling. Was that on purpose?
No, I don't really know how to pump foil. Like I do it once a year in Hood River when there's no wind, and but yeah, I was there. Also, it was super cold actually there. Like when they put like the wind machines on, It got so cold, and I didn't really want to do it. There was so many people there, and I was there focused on waiting. So yeah, I didn't really want to pump foil.
How difficult was the winging part? Because the pool, yes, it was a big pool, but it's still small compared to a lake or the ocean. Yeah. How difficult was it for you?
And it was really interesting. You got like pulled up, and yeah, our masks were super short because also like the swimming pool had, I think was not even one, no, it was like 70 centimeters high. So it was like, if you fell down, you touched the floor. And yeah, it was super small. The wind was actually like super light, weird. Like it's not the sensation of like real wind. But yeah, it was super interesting. And there was actually a lot of people watching. So it was also really fun.
Yeah, compared to the outside, it was warm. But yeah, in there, I totally agree. It was quite cold.
Yeah.
You said before that sometimes when you see other people like going higher, faster, whatever, then it's quite impressive. How much pressure does that add to you when you like maybe go online and you see all these people like pushing hard? How is the mental load for you?
I mean, it's hard because obviously the boys go way higher and way bigger. They learn, if I see, for example, Benji that lives here, it's like one day he learns a new trick. The next day he learns a new trick. So it's like for me to learn a new trick, I have to be like every single day there, trying it out, changing, and seeing him and like other guys just learning the trick like one day, obviously like is a bit annoying. But I mean, it's part of it. Also, like for me, I think a lot, but at the end, I think like for the public or for like people that don't really know how to wing, they don't really see the difference or don't really notice it. But yeah, obviously, like every single day, I'm like, I would want to go as high as the boys, or I want to do the tricks that the boys do.
How much? Because you post stuff on Instagram every once in a while. You said you have these shootings. Is that something that you enjoy doing, or is that just part of the game that you have to play?
I mean, for right now, it's part of the game for sure. Like right now, like living just from wing foiling, for sure your sponsors and everything want you to do Instagram. For me, I enjoy it also. I really enjoy like content creating, etc. But it's a whole nother job and it's really hard. Like having content with quality that people will enjoy, finding the right song, finding the people to film you, then posting it, editing it is a lot of work. And yeah, if you don't know a lot of about social media, it's hard to get into it. But as for right now, I like enjoy it. I don't really get super stressed about it if I don't have anything to post, because yeah, it's like not worth it to like stress yourself about it. But for sure I would want to like get more used to content creating more and posting more regularly.
But you did it yourself. You said, yeah, some people who film you sometimes, but you do all your social networks yourself.
Yeah.
All right. You don't have any like mandates that you have to post. It's just you can choose whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Normally, maybe your sponsor will require you to do, I don't know, 4 or 6 posts a month. For me, I post a lot. Also a lot about competition. So they're not like, oh, you have to do this, and this. But yeah, sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes I feel like I post a lot of the same because at the end I go to a lot of competitions. It's all like wing foiling. So I like also to change it out a little bit more about like personal stuff or like what I do if I'm not winging or what my day looks like when I'm home. But yeah, it's not like you have to post one day or the other. Maybe if we have a shooting or there's new wings coming out, you're a sponsor will call you and say, oh, please, could you post something on this day? We have the new wings coming out and we love all the riders to push it.
Let's talk about that life if you're not wing foiling, because like right now you're super good. You're winning titles, but eventually it's going to be over. Or maybe you get an accident. Never know. Do you have a plan B, or you just say, no, I'm fine. I'll cross the bridge when I come to it.
Well, for right now, it's a bit hard. I think I'm super young still. And yeah, like studying also is like, it's there. If I want to ever do it, I can. But yeah, as for right now, I don't really know what I would want to do if I'm not winging foiling anymore.
Are you not scared that you're going to lose interest suddenly?
I don't think I'm going to lose interest. Maybe I'll lose some year, a bit more motivation, or like, yeah, as you say, you can get injured. Or for example, in summer, I got appendicitis, so I was like out for a month.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like part of it, I think. But at the end, like, as I said, I really enjoy doing it. Even if I'm not competing or anything, I'll still probably go out.
Very nice. That's good. I mean, if that's your passion, then it's probably the best thing that you can have. You said that you're born, you live in Tarifa right now. You've been to so many places on the world doing water sports. Is there any place that you would say, like, I would want to live there because it's so much better, or I enjoy it more? Or you say, like, Tarifa is like the perfect spot to be?
I mean, for me, I really like Tarifa. It's like in a center of Europe. It's close to everything. I mean, obviously, if you go to Brazil or something, it's further away. But at the end, if you live in Brazil, everything's far away. So, yeah, I really like it. We don't have like... Tarifa is a really nice place because you can wing almost every single day of the year. But you don't really have the best conditions. You have like... stronger wind, lighter wind, gusty, but not really like you'll get an amazing day. But it's also what gets you good at the end. If you train every day in the worst conditions, when you get to the good ones, you'll perform really good. But if I had another place to choose where to live, I don't really know what to tell you. It's hard because at the end, I really love like Cape Verde, but I think it's really remote. At the end, there's not much to do if you're not in the water, so I think it wouldn't be for me either. And yeah, I think it's really hard. I really love Spain also. It's like my home country. My family lives here. My grandma lives 1 hour from here, so...
Sounds perfect.
Really, yeah, I don't really would want to move pretty far from them.
Well, that's also a good thing. Honestly, if I look at all these places, I sometimes think, like, oh, it would be super cool to live at the ocean or at least at the lake. But yeah, that ship has sailed. I want to like come to the community, the foiling community. And for you as a pro, there must be like an inner foiling circle. How do you get along with the other pros that you see in every other event?
As I said before, I think the winging community, almost everybody gets along really good, especially in freestyle. I think in racing is a bit more competitive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in like the racing. But in the GWA, almost everybody's pretty chill. They get along with each other. And yeah, like, it's also right now, I think, as you saw, there's so many younger kids. For example, in freestyle competing, there's almost no older people anymore or older guys. So yeah, we're almost...
Who is considered an older guy?
I would say like from 20 up. It's really crazy in wing foiling. Freestyle, almost everybody is like... our age, like 18, 19, 20, or younger.
Wow.
So
that is crazy.
So we all get along pretty good. Also, for example, the twins lived in Tarifa like for 2 years. Charlie or Chris, McDonald or Marlo, they're all super nice. And every time we're like some place and we're there maybe 4 days before the competition, we all go out together and train together.
Very nice. Yeah, I mean, from a non-pro view, it really looks like that. And if you say so yourself is that way, it's super cool. Do you think if winging ever becomes Olympic, that would change Because you already said that, like, the racing is a little more competitive already. Would that make it even more competitive?
Probably. Especially because the Olympics, I think anybody that has the chance would love to go to the Olympics. And then also between the countries, the competition that there will be, for sure, get more competitive, as I said also in racing. There's like, they're way more competitive. Also, the French people, I feel like, are really competitive. But yeah, I think for sure will change.
As it is not like set how it would look, how would you suggest like the Olympic races should go? Probably no free fly, huh? No sausage either. How would you do it?
I think the format that they have in Wing for Racing is pretty good. For sure, it'll change. In the Red Bull camp, we're also like considering some formats to do the Olympics. But yeah, like I think like Wing for Racing type of competition would be nice.
All right. You've been with Duotone ever since. Have there been other brands who contacted you like after your first couple of titles and said like, you should come to us because we can pay so much more, or like any proposals?
For sure. Like, and all the riders at the end of the year or between the years, you get proposed from other brands and different type of deals. But for me at the end, Duotone, I've been with Duotone always since the beginning. They give me the best deal. I feel really good in the brand, and yeah, it's amazing how much they take care of their riders and they push us. So I really like being a Duotone team rider.
So you've never been tempted to change?
Not as for right now.
How much are you involved in R&D as well? Do you get prototypes, or can you like maybe order something? You can say, all right, I like this foil, for example, but I want it to be a little more this way or that way. Do you have your personal foils, or do you have like things off the shelf?
No, at the end for me, I get the regular series which comes out. It's really hard at the end. Duotone is a really big brand. They have like a lot of people that test, a lot of people that do this. There was Spencer brothers who were really into like testing everything. And at the end, it's hard to get the foils from one place to the other. And yeah, for me, I have so much things to do that at the end, testing is also another job. Go out, try this foil and the other one. And yeah, for me, I don't really try much prototypes. If they ask me, I'll for sure give my input, but I don't really have much to say in that area.
All right. How much of a pain is it to travel to these places? Because if I look some of your pictures and pictures of other pros as well, they travel with such huge bags. How difficult is it? Or do you just get used to it and say, like, that's part of the game and it's no problem for you?
I mean, it's part of it. I almost don't know how to travel anymore without a board bag. Every time I go without a board bag, it's like, I have no luggage. It's incredible. But yeah, it's a bit annoying when you don't have, like, when you're stressed about the overweight, it weighs a lot. You have to drag it through the whole airport, then hoping it'll get there if they don't lose your bags and everything.
Have you ever had anything lost?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of times. You get home, it doesn't arrive, or you get to a competition, it doesn't arrive.
What do you do then?
I've been lucky, and maybe if I was there for 3 days before the comp, it arrived just before the competition.
Oh, wow, okay.
But yeah, I was a little bit stressed in Abu Dhabi because we got there the day before the competition, so if they lost my bags, for sure I wouldn't been able to compete like for the first few days. But yeah, it's part of it at the end. My mom asked me if I wanted to go before, but I was like, no, I have so much stuff to do here. So if it gets lost, I have to deal with it.
If you look forward, maybe in 5-10 years, where do you see yourself?
I don't know. I don't know. I hope still doing this sport and still competing, but I don't really know.
All right, that's super cool. Yeah, you have time. That's perfect. Nia, do you have anything else you want to tell the world?
Not much. They should try winning. And yeah, just do whatever you enjoy. And yeah, follow your heart.
All right. Well, thank you very much for taking your time coming on the show. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And I hope to see you at a competition sometimes or just like on the water somewhere. Thank you very much, Nia. Have a nice night.
Yeah, you too.